In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but my favorite ride at an amusement park, and I'm not talking about the amusement like the carnivals that they set up on the side of the road in a parking lot. I'm talking about amusement parks that have that just stay there, that are reliant, you know. For the most part, I like the roller coasters the best, which is very odd for me because I don't like heights. I don't like being strapped to anything. I don't like feeling that I can't get out of something. And I don't like the sense of not being in control. I mean, everything that a roller coaster is something I should hate, but I love them. And the reason I bring this up is because roller coasters have two different kinds of force in them that are quite interesting. And those two different kinds of force, well, there are probably others. I'm not a complete physicist. But the two different kinds of force I talk about is centrifugal force and centripetal force. Centripetal force is that force that keeps something in a circle, keeps it sort of in orbit. So when a roller coaster, its cars are going through a circle on the track is keeping the roller coaster cars in a confined circle. It's not letting it out, as centrifugal force does. Centrifugal force sends an object out because of its energy. So it's sort of the difference between spinning something and having something go out, and like a satellite, maybe that's a better image, a satellite that goes around the world. The centripetal force of gravity is keeping that satellite in orbit around the world. It's not flying out into space. And I know you might be thinking, what in the world, Father Bob, does centrifugal force, centripetal force, and roller coasters have to do with this gospel this morning? Well, I'm going to get to that. There is a reason, a very good theological reason, why John puts this story of Jesus overturning the tables in the temple where he does. You see, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, their story of Jesus has the overturning of the tables at the end of the gospel, almost like the last provocative statement that Jesus makes in his ministry to really get under the skin of the authorities and bring them to want to get rid of him once and for all, that last provocative move. But John doesn't do that. John puts it at the beginning of his story. Really, Jesus goes and does his first sign at the wedding in Cana. He turns water into wine. And then his next move is to go to the temple and overturn the tables of the money changers and drive out the merchants. And the other difference here is that Matthew, Mark, and Luke have Jesus say, "Stop turning my Father's house into a den of robbers." John doesn't say den of robbers. If we remember in the gospel this morning, he says, "Stop turning my Father's temple into a marketplace." Very different theme there between den of robbers and marketplace. And actually, the temple kind of was a marketplace. It's where you went to get the things you needed. You had to change the money from the Roman coin to the temple coin in order to pay the temple tax. You had to purchase a dove or a goat or some other kind of animal in order to have a sacrifice. So there were exchanges happening. So why is Jesus so upset here? Well, perhaps there are some historical things going on here where they were turning it too much into a business and maybe it got a little out of hand. But I don't think that's what John is really trying to tell us this morning. I think what John is trying to tell us this morning is that Jesus, and why this story is at the beginning of this gospel, is that Jesus is inaugurating a new way of being in the faith community. He is inaugurating a new tradition. And that new tradition has much more to do with the people than it does with the hierarchy of the faith community. And that's what Jesus did, didn't it? For 3 years or so, he threatened the establishment, not only the religious establishment, but the political establishment. That's what he did. And I think what John is doing here is showing us that Jesus steps onto the scene and immediately He means business, and he wants to inaugurate change. This top-down stuff wasn't working very well. And indeed, we still see that in our human culture today. Top down. The important people are in the boardroom. The unimportant people are the vast majority of the ones who get the work done and who are to do the work. We see that in corporations. We see that in all kinds of businesses. We see that in our structures. And I don't think it's any different from the church. If we look in the catechism on page 850-something in the Book of Common Prayer, we see the question, who are the ministers of the church? In the catechism, the first sentence of that answer is, the ministers of the church are the laity, bishops, priests, and deacons. There are much more laity than there are ordained in the church. It's the way it is. So, but what the church has sort of expounded over the years, or at least our perception of what church is supposed to be and what our faith communities are supposed to be, it seems to reflect that idea of centripetal force, where we revolve around the church, the community of the church, and don't venture from it. In other words, it's almost like perhaps we treat the church as a marketplace because we go to it as a destination to get the things we need for the day or for the week. Rather than being transformed and energized by the Spirit to go out into the world. And a perfect example of something we're going to do right now. It's very important for us to recognize those people in the church community that are called by God to do ministries within the church to make the community thrive and to glorify God. So right now, we're going to do a centripetal force exercise. If Carrie, would you come up front, please? Carrie is our new choir master and organist, and we're going to commission him as such right now.
I present to you Carrie Talley to be admitted to the ministry of organist and choir master in this congregation.
David commanded the chief of the Levites to appoint musicians who should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. When the song was raised in the praise of the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Let us pray. O God, of whom saints and angels delight to worship in heaven, be ever present with your servants who seek through music to perfect the praises offered by your people on earth, and grant them even now glimpses of your beauty, and make them worthy at length to behold it unveiled forevermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of God and of this congregation, I commission you, Carrie, as organist and choir master in this parish. So there's a man named David Miller who wrote a book. And in his book he was reporting on what this consultant was doing in a congregation. Actually not a congregation, but a group of clergy. And he said to the clergy, raise your hand if you commission organists and choir masters in your church. And they said, well, yeah, we do. Raise your hand if you commission youth ministers in your congregation every year. Oh, yeah, we do. Raise your hand if you commission new vestry members. Oh, yeah, we do that. Raise your hand if you commission plumbers. Raise your hand if you commission tax accountants. The hands stopped going up. Because in the church we've tended to go with a centripetal force sort of outlook on our ministries, where we revolve around the church itself. But today we're going to reverse that a little bit. Jesus went into the temple and overturned the tables. He overturned the structures of the faith community. He released the people from to go out and do the work that he sends them out to do, rather than being all caught up in the guys on top. So today, I commission you, those who work for a company that might be a receptionist, those of you who work in the healthcare industry, I commission you. Those who work as a teacher in the schools, I commission you today. Those who work in hospice to care for those who are dying, I commission you. Those of you who work in the oil and gas industry, I commission you. Those of you who are retired and done your work over the years, I commission you. I commission each and every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ to go out into the world to share the word of Jesus, to share the love of Jesus, to be kind to others, and to show forth his glory in the world and in all that you do. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.